and Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You just heard an Indigify special about Alaska Native hip-hop artists. That's it for Stage and Studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts.
Coming up next on KBOO, it's Art Focus. Kristen Derry interviews Chloe and Beth, directors of Women House, about their newest exhibition. And don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. And if you want a third way to listen to your favorite cable programming, then download our mobile app today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 3rd Annual Northwest Quartet Fest on Saturday, December 7th from noon to 8 p.m. at Kennedy Violins in Vancouver, Washington. The Northwest Quartet Fest is a benefit to raise money for local school music programs. There will be raffles, food, an instrument petting zoo, and live music by local student and professional musicians playing genres from classical to Irish to jazz to rock. Again, that's the 3rd Annual Northwest Quartet Fest on Saturday, December 7th from noon to 8 p.m. at Kennedy Violins, 508 Southeast 117th Avenue in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Andy Whoa Whoa looks a scream, had him on my Whoa Whoa Whoa. Andy Whoa Whoa, silver scream, can't tell them apart at all.
Hi, welcome to KBOO Portland. You are listening to Art Focus, and my name is Kristen Derryberry. I'm currently the guest host this week. We are talking to the directors of Women House, Chloe Jarnak and Beth Zimmerman. Women House is a community for women, trans, and non-binary artists whose goal is to help individuals attain visibility and access to resources in their art practice by fostering collaboration, education, and support. Their current show, Mirror, is up now until December 8th at 3636 at North Mississippi. So, hi. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Before we get into Mirror itself, I would like to ask a couple questions regarding how Women House came together. So, what were the early beginnings like, and what inspired Women House to be what it is becoming currently?
Yeah, Women House was kind of started by myself, Katrina Hirsch, and Mary Thomas. We were all kind of new friends, and we all got together to go to an art gallery opening on Mississippi, where the space is currently used to be Dust to Dust Projects. So we all got together to go to the Dust to Dust Project show, and we were all kind of new friends. And then we had such an amazing time together, and as we were talking, kind of discovered that we all had this similar desire to create some sort of community for women to meet up and get together and also give each other space and kind of priority in their artistic practice. And so we began to have meetings at each other's houses and invited all of our friends to kind of meet up and try to create some sort of environment like that, and then started hosting small events over time. Our first event was a backyard Skillshare, and then we had another event that was a discussion panel where we had several prominent women in our community come and give a discussion about authenticity and kind of balancing a live work art practice. And then after a while, kind of through a lot of like different commitment levels with people, you know, this was a group effort, but not everybody could be as consistent as they like to. We kind of like shifted from having a group scenario to more of like just Katrina and I, the original like co-founders, kind of doing a little bit more of the leadership role, and that's how we met Beth. We had our first show in an art gallery space. It was a group show, and Beth kind of found us on Instagram or on Facebook. Yeah. And she reached out to us, and we met up, and we felt like that was like a really good, solid, just kind of three mm-hmm. leadership, or just we met up, and it kind of felt a really, really solid leadership kind of core. And we've kind of been trying to integrate more of that group dynamic back mm-hmm. into the thing or into our community, but it felt like we needed to have more of a strong direction and then mm-hmm. kind of have more of our community integrate back in.
Awesome. So now getting into the actual show itself, I'm curious what pushed you to have this theme of self-portrait. It's called Mirror. Mm-hmm. It's pretty self-evident in the way that we look at ourselves and us and the reflection looking back at us. And I enjoy the quote that he used from Agnes Varda in the zine, which we'll get into a little bit later, where she says, "The tool of every self-portrait is the mirror. You see yourself in it. Turn it the other way and you see the world." Just what were your thoughts behind that and formulating the idea behind the show?
Do you want to go?
I would say that we originally didn't know how long we were going to be in our space. And I think that we were thinking it could actually just be 3 months. And so at our 3 month mark, we decided we wanted to have a group show that people could submit to, because we thought that that would just be a really great thing for the community, especially having a few shows under our belt. And so that's kind of where the idea of that show actually came to be. And I think we all just gravitated towards the idea of it being a self-portrait show.
Yeah, I think that for me, what's exciting about a self-portrait show is it kind of relays the woman experience. And when I say woman throughout this interview, I mean women with an X, which includes trans and non-binary people. So just it's just a little bit easier for me to say that. And
of course.
Yeah. So, I think it relays kind of like the experience that we all go through. It's very personal. It's also very vulnerable. And I think when you have that as a collective experience, it can be incredibly powerful to mm-hmm. witness. And I think that the personal in a lot of ways is very political as well. And so for me, what was exciting about having a self-portrait show is to have that relaying of like that experience and to have something very powerful. And like Beth said, we didn't exactly know how long we were going to be in the space. And so we're like, if we're going to accomplish anything, mm-hmm. like why not be something powerful and affecting as having a group of women really kind of putting everything out there.
Mm-hmm. With that said, my next question is the selection process. So if I have it correctly, you guys did a call. How did that go down? And then how were you able to select the people to be in the group show?
So we did a call for submissions, I would say like a month before the show. And so we were given submissions like through Dropbox, where people could either submit work that they would like to actually be showcased at the show, or they could tell us works that they are wanting to create for the show. And so we actually got, how many submissions was it?
We got 35 mm-hmm. submissions. We also posted on the RACC mm-hmm. Website as well, just to kind of promote the submission. And the submissions, you could go through our website and submit mm-hmm. to the show. But I think selection wise we were really interested in getting a large or a diverse array of art
variety.
And also, you know, we got a lot of submissions that were very, you know, obviously like this is a self-portrait that I took with my camera, or this is a painting of myself. And that's something that we wanted to include in the show, but we are also looking for different kind of, I guess, more abstract mm-hmm. ideas of what a self-portrait could be. And then also just kind of looking at what work kind of was cohesive and felt good together. So we got a lot of amazing, amazing submissions. And I wish we could have included all of them because they were so beautiful and so incredible. But that's kind of what we were looking at when we were curating the show.
With having such a large array of media out there in the show, how did you go about organizing the space? Because it's a really small space, yes. And you packed in a dense variety of work, from painting to textile to video to sculpture to somehow performance art as well, that is continuing right now as we speak, just with it on the ground. If you can kind of explain like the curatorial choices after you did the selection and yeah
I mean, so far the way that we've been curating, or I guess installing all of the art in our spaces for this show and our past show, is we have the artists kind of bring in their work. And for the last two shows that we had before Mirror, we had the artists in the space, and kind of like, it's very much what feels good in what area. Mm-hmm. It's more intuitive than it is necessarily like, I guess, more like academic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. We kind of got all of the work that we thought was like great curation wise, and then we just kind of felt it out.
Work together. We problem solve. Mm-hmm. I think both having gone to art school and knowing composition, it's always a learning process and trial by error. But I think that we kind of ended up just seeing things and agreeing and just like, yes, that'd be perfect there. Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of sculptural pieces, so a lot of that had to be revolved, or a lot of the rest of the art had to be revolved around those sculptural pieces. And then also, I feel like there's a lot of trial and error. So we would put something up over in one corner or one area and say, okay, this is...
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right. We're going to move it over here. And so it's a lot of like... just decision.
And I think at the end, we're really happy and excited because we're like, yes, perfect. Yeah. It's really fun to work together to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was a dancer before I was a filmmaker and photographer. And I think for me, I have like a different idea of space or connect to spaces differently. And so for me, I guess just finding like ways to utilize this space that encompasses not just, you know, eye level, but also feels more immersive is something that excites me.
Yeah, to include the community in with the space.
Exactly.
I noticed that you also have pieces in the show as well. Mm-hmm. I just would like to expand on that if you want to talk about, Chloe, your piece with the shattered glass on the ground and the video, if you want to talk about that right now.
So I had a video projected onto mirror that was laid out on the ground in the shape of my body, which then projected fragments of this video onto the wall behind it. And my kind of theme behind this is that we're not necessarily just... I guess identity isn't just from inside of us. It's kind of a culmination of our environment and also our culture and just like a variety of different things. We're not just made up of, I don't know, our quote unquote ourselves. It's more of an external force collaborating with what we feel inside and our emotions inside. And so I think for myself, I wanted to kind of convey that and kind of like more of this emotional transcendence. I don't know. I'm very attracted to mirrors within my work and my photography work as well. It's something that I love to play with a lot because of in photography, it's really just an exciting way of framing. But also I've been kind of dealing with this idea of, you know, women are often objectified in photography, and it's often been a really huge struggle for me. And the way, and also just the way that photography kind of imposes whatever the photographer's view is upon the subject that it's taking a picture of. And that's, in my mind, it is a problem in photography and also just an existential kind of crisis within myself because I don't like doing that. I don't like projecting my own ideals upon other people, but that happens, and that's kind of like how we relate to one another inevitably. But a mirror in the frame kind of, I think, challenges that there's more than just what's existing and that there is different ways of perceiving things regardless of what situation we're in. And also, I like the idea of play with, there's a mirror inside of the camera, and that's also reflecting on, of the outside. So I think the thing that's different about photography versus painting or any kind of other art medium is that, and also filmmaking, is that photography is supposedly this capturing of the truth and what's real. You look at a painting and you know that that's a painting, that's an artist's interpretation, but a photograph is more, I don't know, seen as something that is reality. And so that's what I like to challenge by kind of creating more of a surreal landscape or a surreal feeling by including, I don't know, different things in the frame that challenge that.
This is Kristen Derryberry. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Art Focus. This week we are talking to Beth Zimmerman and Chloe Jarnick from Women House. To continue on talking about the work in Mirror right now, Beth, would you like to speak about your work and your process a little bit, but mostly what the viewer sees in the gallery?
Sure. So I actually, Chloe was saying how I kind of met coming to the first gallery show from by Woman House in our current space, was that I'm actually recently moved to Portland. So I was in New York for almost 8 years. And I just like to tell people, I know that there are amazing creative communities in New York, and of course there are like places where people can connect, but I think personally I just had a hard time finding my artistic community. I went to Parsons and I had you know, a great connection to some of my classmates, but a lot of them moved after school, and I think I also just kind of struggled finding a lot of women creatives that I could kind of create with, and there was like a support system and a real sense of community. And so it was just funny because I think I met Chloe and Katrina like weeks after I'd moved, just kind of pushing myself to go meet people. And so when we met, it was amazing. And I felt like just being introduced to this community was like really going to be an amazing opportunity for me to continue to work on my art. I went to Parsons for illustration. And so my work is mostly 2D. I do drawing and painting. The piece that I have currently up at the space is a graphite portrait. And I personally really like the idea of like human duality and just like fragments of, you know, personality, and we're all, you know, multidimensional. And so I really like to represent that in my work.
So my next question is the Caitlin Quester piece. Mm-hmm. I know she did a performance on the opening night, but as I was going around the space, there are sand pieces on the ground, and I know that she was making that work around her own self-investigation, and she was creating stretch marks in the performance. And I was just curious, as you have probably seen it evolve over time, how that has affected the audience, and also if you can speak a little bit more about the work as well in the corner as a part of her piece.
Yeah, so when we got Caitlin's submission, we were really excited by her work and just seeing how she integrates kind of like her body within her work. And I think it's really important as like somebody, I don't know, as just like women in general are very self-conscious, I feel like inevitably about our body, we have this idea of what our body is supposed to look like. And that is internalized in a lot of ways, that we kind of she kind of used these sand, she used sand on the floor of the gallery to create these stretch marks. And it's kind of like taking herself, or like taking parts of her body and using it to kind of embellish the space. At least that's how I interpreted it. And over the time in the gallery, it's been really interesting because obviously because it's sand, it's more of an ephemeral material, and it has moved a lot around. And I'm not entirely sure if people recognize that it was there. There's been like footprints of the sand in the gallery, which is interesting. And it's also interesting because her piece was made with sand, which is also very similar to Judy Chicago and Miriam, a piece that was in the original Woman House that was by Judy Chicago and Miriam Shapiro. So Woman House, we came up with a name based on this installation that was done at CalArts, which is my alma mater. That's where I went to school. It was the Judy Chicago kind of founded the very first like feminist art class at Fresno State, and then took that class to the California Institute of the Arts. In that class, they decided to kind of take over this this abandoned mansion that they were going to strip down or like take down to build a parking lot. And in that house, they created all of these different rooms that were all installations. And in one of the rooms actually was this piece where there's a woman in a bathtub, and it was a sculpture constructed out of sand. So it's the form of a woman kind of sitting in a bathtub. And over the course of the exhibit, there were fingerprints all over this kind of like sculpture of the woman in the bathtub. And that, I think, is also so similar to what Caitlin's piece is kind of achieving in this space right now, is that this is kind of an ephemeral, like, moment. What do you think about it?
Knowing Caitlin, myself personally, and just knowing how their process over time and their process with their work is, I see as the artist has left the piece and people are able to go and look at these mountains, these landscapes of sand that are also in the form of stretch marks and are able to interact, it's able to become its own thing, and how we deal with ourselves in reaction to other people and how those live on and do things that are not, we can't predict. And so I felt like that piece was really speaking to like the unpredictable side of ourselves and how it reacts to everything else around us. So with that said, I want to talk about also the zine that you guys made for the show, and what were your thoughts behind that, and just the layout of it too, if you want to speak about that and the form that it takes, because it's a really beautiful zine using very untraditional type of cover, and it's very minimalist. And so I was just curious about how that came about.
Great. So we were actually able to pull off this amazing, beautiful zine with the help of two of our kind of community members, Sita Fiddler and Sam Reynolds. So they kind of partnered on this task to create the zine. Sita is an amazing graphic designer, and Sam is a really amazing editor, and she also knows Brizograph. And so we met with them because we had the idea to originally do a zine just as a way to showcase all of our artists in a different way that people could take out of the space. We also just love zines and they're really fun, but we did want people's help to kind of create. And so we just communicated with Sita and Sam to work on this project, and Sita laid everything out, but we were kind of supervising throughout the whole process. But she did a really incredible, they both did a really incredible job. And I think visually we are wanting to kind of start experimenting a little with color and be more creative. And we're working on like building like the actual like visual aesthetic of the brand with maybe like a brand book or something. But she, you know, used bright colors, and it was just really amazing. And it kind of just showed us that we want to kind of keep doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it was fun to be able to have an untraditional way of looking at the pieces around the gallery mm-hmm. by having the zine in front of you. Normally, when you go into galleries, you just have a blank piece of paper or there's stuff on the wall. And mm-hmm. this was a way of reaching out to the community, too, as well.
Yeah, and I think for myself, what was exciting about having a zine was giving the artists kind of a voice of how they, you know, how they interpreted their own pieces and how they interpreted their own artwork and what their kind of like goals are in terms of their pieces mm-hmm. throughout the show.
Perfect. So on to my last question. So what is the future plans for Women House?
I know.
Because this show goes up until December 8th. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take a break during the holidays? Is there a show coming up?
Yeah, so we have, I think, too many plans for the future.
so many
goals. It's been absolutely bonkers, like, how much Women House has kind of taken off in a lot of different ways mm-hmm. that we didn't really expect. We have received so much support from the community, so we're incredibly grateful. Our kind of goals for the future are to create a podcast and then also a blog for Women House. So having more of an online presence and a presence that's also outside of the Portland metro area. But then on top of that, we have an upcoming show that's going to be happening in January called the 2020 Show, which is a play on kind of clairvoyance and then also the coming of the new year, where we have 11 artists doing one or two interpretations of a major arcana tarot card. So we're going to be we've been reaching out to a lot of amazing artists in our community to get that started, and it'll, I think, just be kind of a big party happening on January 16th. Yes. So we're really excited yep. about that. We're also planning to do some sort of a film festival, or hoping to do some mm-hmm. sort of a film festival next year. I myself, as a filmmaker, have always used to curate film screenings at my college. And so I've been wanting to do that ever since I graduated. And this is kind of like, this is my hope for this upcoming year, is that we were able to do
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So now you are listening to KBOO Portland. You have just listened to Art Focus. Special guest host today is Kristen Derryberry. And we were interviewing the directors of Women House. Their show is up until December 8th on 3636 North Mississippi. And thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Latin American Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater. The next film in the series, I Am the People, Venezuela Under Populism, is showing Wednesday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m. I Am the People, Venezuela Under Populism is a documentary film that sets out to expose the mechanisms of authoritarian power and shows the emergence of charismatic leaders in a time of crisis. A panel discussion will be held at the end of the film, moderated by Elliot Young, Latin American and migration historian at Lewis and Clark. Again, that's I Am the People, Venezuela Under Populism, showing Wednesday, December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the page under Community Events.
Daddy, las mamas están aquí para darles información, música y diversión con el show de Mujeres Bravas, los domingos desde las 12 hasta la 1:30 de la tarde.
El que se quede en su silla sentado, que sea castigado por no saber gozar.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale.
This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio.
Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till 7 p.m.
We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Saturday, December 14th. The sale will be held on December 21st. Stay tuned for details.
Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasure to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for our community radio station, KBOO.
If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email volunteer at kboo.org or call 503-231-8255. 0-3-2 extension 213.
Comienza ahora el programa.
Así que vamos a delirar. Deliremos por un ratito.
Buenas tardes, esto es la programación en español de KBOO Portland. Les habla Tania.